Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 16th verse in your Scofield Bible, page 1214. This is the last verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. We'll read this verse. We'll go on to other scriptures following the reading of that verse. We'll read the verse all in unison. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of this passage? And may we read together. Ready? For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Turn now to the book of Philippians, the second chapter, page 1258, in your Scofield Reference Bible. I'm sorry, Philippians 2, 5, verse 5. And we'll read the first bit, the fifth verse altogether, please. Ready? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Turn now to James chapter 1 and verse 8, page 1306. James 1, verse 8. Let's read that together, please. Ready? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, James chapter 4, page 1309. Let's begin with verse 7 and read through verse 10. The eighth verse is the text verse in this case. Let's read it all together, please. Ready? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And let's pray. Father, bless, we pray, in a very special way this service tonight. Certainly, thou dost have something for each of us. And if any of us would leave the building tonight without getting that which you have for us, it certainly would not only be a waste of time, it would be a sin. And we pray that you'd open our hearts, our minds, and prepare us for the preaching of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
And our Heavenly Father, bless your servant as he tries to serve both you and his people for these moments. Bless our hearts, give us attentiveness now. Amen. Being the Lord's Supper night, the service of necessity has a little different schedule, and I'm just about 18 minutes later getting up to speak than normal, and so I must bring a briefer message tonight than usual, and I assure you that I will. But the very nature of that means that you'll have to listen very carefully in a hurry as I talk to you tonight. One of the themes that I preach every several months is the theme tonight. I love such passages as, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've said this so often, but every evil deed is first committed in the mind. The mind is the drafting board of behavior. You keep your mind pure, you'll keep your life pure. You keep your mind clean, you keep your life clean. What you think will eventually be what you are. The mind is the original computer. You fill that mind with things that are wrong, improper motives, impure thoughts. Before long or someday, you will perform the deed that you visualize in your mind. We have the mind of Christ, Paul said. That's a startling statement. We have the mind of Christ. Now, it is made startling by those to whom he was speaking and writing. If the apostle had said, "We have the mind of Christ," to that lovely Philippian church that was so thoughtful of Paul's needs and filling those needs, I would not have been quite as surprised. Or if these words had been written to the church in Ephesus, that great, large, influential church to which smaller churches looked as their mother church, that evangelistic place that was once the flame of fire of the propagation of the gospel and starting new churches and sending out preachers. Had it been said, "We have the mind of Christ," to the Ephesians, I would not have been too surprised. Had it been said to the church at Thessalonica, that church that a little bit tilted maybe on one subject, spent more time probably on the second coming and prophecy than they should have, perhaps to the detriment of other doctrines and to the omission of some of the doctrines, but nevertheless the church that was holy, comparatively speaking, as men count holiness, had he said that we have the mind of Christ to this church, I would not have been very surprised. But the church to whom the Apostle Paul said, now listen to this, "We have the mind of Christ," was the Corinthian church. That church that made a drunken feast out of the Lord's Supper, to that church that got drunk at the little service like we had a while ago, Paul said, "You have the mind of Christ." To the church that the Bible said was occupied or populated by babes in Christ, Paul said, "You have the mind of Christ." That church that was carnal in its lifestyle, steeped in its heresy, and vulgar in its speech, and immoral in the manifestation, that church was the church that was the recipient of this statement, "We have the mind of Christ." Now, how could the church at Corinth have the mind of Christ? The apostle wrote to the Philippian church and said, "Let this mind be in you." He didn't say to the Philippian church, "You have the mind of Christ." He said, "Let this mind be in you." Now, how could he say to the Corinthian church, "You have the mind of Christ"? Let me explain. I hold in my hand a little pocket recorder. This little recorder is the thing to which I talk. This particular one I recorded my book on separation to this little recorder. I've recorded my book on Meet the Holy Spirit to this little recorder. My book on prayer, Exploring Prayer with Jack Hiles, was spoken to this recorder. I do not know how many other of my books recorded on this recorder. Mrs. Boardway does my typing, and she's tired of this raspy voice talking, and she's going to get tired again because she just got a heap of tapes for another book. But It's like this. I have a tape on this recorder. My voice is raspy, and this recorder is about to go where all good recorders go when they pass away, to the recorder's heaven. Or, the way it's been acting lately, it just may go to the other place recorders go. But, and so it's not playing well, and its dictator is old and decrepit. And mad. But on this little recorder tonight, I have a tape, and it doesn't sound real good. This is not made for loud playing, but I'll play it for you. Those are the works of the flesh, as listed in Galatians. Now this, God likens this statement, said to the Corinthian people, you have the mind of Christ, something like this. Now, I have a tape right here that fits this recorder. Now on this tape, I recorded the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and so forth. Now, on the recorder, they're the works of the flesh. They're the ones on here. But I have the fruit of the Spirit. Not in here, but I have it. Every person, when he gets saved, is given the mind of Christ. Now, he already has the mind of the flesh. Already has it. Now, when the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, he's saying, there you are, church at Corinth, and in your mind there are the works of the flesh. Idolatry, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness, they're there in your mind. And by the way, they are in every mind on the face of the earth. But when you got saved, Paul said, in the Corinthian church, he said, I gave you the mind of Christ. Now, if you want to, you can put it in there, but you don't have to. So he said, you can do this. If you want to, you have the mind of Christ, and you put it in there.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance.
It's your choice, he said. You have both. It's up to you. So do you. Have both. I get a little tired of hearing people say, well, I've just got an evil mind. So does everybody else. Well, I'm just one of those people that has a hard time conquering bad, wicked thoughts. So does everybody else. Now, let's face it, folks. You're not unusually and different. You're unusually different. You're like everybody else. The Bible said, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And the only difference in you and a person who's got a pure mind is not that you're hypersexed. It's not that you are just one of those people that is undisciplined. I get so tired of hearing students at the college saying, well, I'm just one of those people that my daddy never taught character. Don't you blame your daddy because you're no good. Bible says,
Every man must give an account of himself to God. And everybody in this room has both evil and good. Now, I've forgotten which one I got on here now. By nature, this is you. Unsaved man, all he has is this. He didn't have the mind of Christ. All he has is the mind of the flesh. That's why this whole country is rocking and reeling tonight. You're not going to reform this nation. Brother, the only way you're going to change the homosexual, the dirty homosexual crowd, is to get the mind of Christ and make it available to them. I mean, we got too many folks, we got too many preachers running around the country trying to get prayer in the public schools. We ought to get trying to get prayer back in the Christian's life. We spend too much time on trying to reform America, but brother, you're not going to change this country by reforming that. You're not going to change this country until you get that. Now, I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm just simply saying that a lot of preachers are becoming reformers and they ought to be regenerators. I mean, we're going to have to get the people in the country born again. The problem with America is a heart problem, and you're not going to reform the wicked playboy crowd, and I hate it with a passion, but you're not going to reform it, and you're not going to reform. And listen, everything these guys are against, I'm against. I'm just also against their priorities. Now, how could they have had the mind of Christ? Because it was available to them. They didn't have it. Now, these Corinthian people were babes in Christ. But notice, in Christ. They're babes, but they're in Christ. So as in Christ, the fact they're babes means they had the wrong tape on. But the fact they're in Christ means they had the good tape available. That means this. You can have the understanding of Christ. You can have wisdom, His wisdom, for your decision. You can have His feelings, His love, His compassion, His depth of thought, His intelligence, His will, His outlook, His concept, His humility, His mercy, His compassion, His disposition, His holiness, and His purity. It's all available. And nobody has to have in his mind the works of the flesh. Because available to every single child of God is the tape or the slide that all he has to do is put it in the computer and recorder of the mind, and you can have in your mind the mind of Christ. It's available for everybody in this room. And it is just available for one person as it is for the other. That mind that never invited covetousness even into its vestibule. That mind that never allowed impurity as a tenant or even a guest. That mind that never exterminates the pest of bitterness in the spray of the love of God. That mind that called his betrayer his friend. That mind that pled for forgiveness for his assassin. It's yours. You own the tape. You have the slide. When you come to Christ, you received it. Now, listen carefully. Not only did Apostle Paul say to the Corinthian people, you have the mind of Christ. He turns and says to the sweetest of all the churches, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he says, it's yours. You own the tape, and you received it when you came to Christ. But you choose which to insert. Now listen to me. I know that the devil has placed in our generation every temptation about known to mankind. And I know probably this is the hardest age in the history of the world for people to keep their minds pure. But I want to serve notice to you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what age it is, the mind of Christ is available to every person in this room tonight. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and I don't care. Now, it's harder to have a pure mind than it was when you and I, us old codgers, were young people. But I'll tell you what, young folks, you can be clean. Listen to me, and you can be pure. Listen to me, and you can have a pure mind. Listen to me, you can. Every single person in this house tonight whose name is written in the book of life has at his disposal the mind of Christ. And you can be pure in your thinking and in your mind. Now right here is the great decision after salvation. All actions are screened through the mind. You will do what you think. You will be, later, what your mind is now. And I'll be honest with you. I get a little weary of people who just despair and say, well, I've just got a vulgar mind, as if you were the only person in the world that had a vulgar mind. Well, he's got a vulgar mind, too. And he's got one. And he's got one. And he's got one. Now, he doesn't because he's sanctified. But everybody has a vulgar mind. And listen, you pinch me and it hurts. But listen to me. I probably should not say this, but I feel that maybe it'll encourage you, some of you preachers. I've been pastoring over 37 years. I put my hand on the Word of God tonight when I say this. I have pastored tens of thousands of women. But no woman who's ever been a member of a church of mine, or for that matter, any other, I've never looked at a Christian woman without the faults of a gentleman. And nobody in this house has ever been the object of a dirty mind from your preacher. Now, I'm not perfect, but I have not. When I got saved, God gave me the mind of Christ. And brother, I'm not going to keep the fleshly mind in supremacy when I've got the mind of Christ available to me. You know, it's sort of sad that decent women can't walk to church even without some guy giving them a 10 or a 9 or an 8 or 7. I think what you ought to do, they ought to grade your vulgarity or grade your mind and give you a 1 or a 0. Now listen to me. God did not make women to be the object of the evil thoughts of men, and God did not make men to be the evil thoughts of women. There's a way that you can be clean in your life, and that's of being clean in your mind. And there's a way that you can have right motives and right disposition and right joy and peace and happiness and compassion and mercy and humility and goodness and decency and virtue. There's a way. Why? Because the Apostle Paul went to the worst church in the Bible and said, you're babes in Christ, but you have the mind of Christ. It's available for you. And you can be clean if you'll think clean. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I mean this tonight. I'm not going to preach long, but I'll be honest with you. I wish I had 2 hours. I wish I did. The difference is the carnal mind forces its way in. This mind of Christ will not force its way in. The carnal mind forces its way in. It's already there. And the Apostle Paul didn't say, don't let this mind be in you, which is in the flesh, because that's there anyhow. Now, he said, let this mind be in you. He said, it knocks on the door. Open the door and let it come in. It will not force its way in. Purity will not force its way in over impurity. Humility will not force its way in over pride. If you do not make a choice as to which comes in, pride will come in. If you don't decide which comes in, evil thinking will come in. If you don't decide which comes in, bitterness will come in. If you don't decide which comes in, melancholy will come in. That which is wrong has lived there and is there. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what year it is. I don't care what age it is. I don't care if there are Playboy magazines and Penthouse magazines and Miss America gets defrocked because she was defrocked. I don't care what it is. I don't care if they do have X-rated movies in all the movie houses. I don't care if they do have dirty programs on primetime TV and the dirty, filthy, rotten, sex-oriented soap operas that you backslidden women watch in the afternoon. I don't care what they've got. The mind of Christ is just as available tonight as it was 2,000 years ago. And you can be clean-minded, and you can be pure-minded, and you can have right motives, and you don't have to have hatred. You don't have to have variance. You don't have to have idolatry. You don't have to have uncleanness. You don't have to have lasciviousness. You can have purity and decency and love and mercy and compassion. It's available for you. Just take the tape out that's the fleshly mind and put the day tape in that is the that is Christ's mind and just play it.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness.
It's up to you. And by the way, the mind of Christ is just as available to you as it is to me. And the mind of Christ is just available to the layman as it is the preacher. And the mind of Christ is just as available to the young person in a public school as the young person in a Christian college. And I will tell you something. If your mind is unclean and filled with the fleshly appetites, it's your fault. It's not your daddy's fault. It's not your mama's fault. It's not society's fault. Not San Francisco homosexual's fault. Not the dirty lesbian's fault. Not the drunkard's fault. Not the Playboy magazine's fault. Not the movie's fault. Not the television's fault. Not the dirty rock music's fault. If your mind is not clean, it simply means you have the mind of Christ if you're saved, but you have not let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Love is available, but will not force its way in. If it is not invited, hatred is there. Now listen, one or the other is there. It's never blank. Kindness is available, but will not force its way in. If not invited, rudeness will be in you. Cheerfulness is available to you, but will not force its way in. If not invited, sadness will be in you. Joy is available to you, but it will not force its way in. If not invited, unhappiness will be in you. Peace is available to you, but will not force its way in. And if not invited, strife will be in you. Cheer is available to you, but will not force its way in. A clear mind is available to you. Did you hear me? A clear mind is available, but will not force its way in. If not invited, confusion will abide in you. Humility is available to you, but will not force its way in. It must be invited. If not invited, pride will be in you. Self-discipline is available to you. I said it's available to you. It will not force its way in. If not invited, confusion will abide in you. Forbearance is available to you. It will not force its way in. If not invited, envy will abide in you. Wisdom is available to you. Boy, he sure is wise. The Bible said if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That doesn't mean you walk up and say, God, give me a pound and a half of wisdom. It means you, like I said this morning, you beg and 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 plead and cry and plead and cry all night and beg all night and pray in the wee hours of the morning and beg for God to give you wisdom. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a generation growing up that couldn't be cured by some moms and dads who would pray hours a month for wisdom to rear their kids right. But it won't force its way in. Not invited, folly will abide in you. Clean thoughts are available to you, but will not force their way in. If not invited, dirty thoughts will abide in you. Assurance is available to you, but will not force its way in. If not invited, doubt will abide in you. Generosity is available to you. Somebody said, boy, she is so generous. She has not one ounce of generosity that is more available to her than is available to you. But it won't force its way in. If not invited, selfishness will abide in you. Patience is available to you, but will not force its way in. If not invited, impatience abides in you. Holy motives are available to you, but will not force their way in. If not invited, unholy motives will abide in you. Diligence is available to you, but will not force its way in. If not invited, slothfulness dwelleth in you. The mind of Christ was not placed in your brain the moment you got saved. It was placed in your hand. And Paul did not say the mind of Christ is in you. He said you have or you possess the mind of Christ. And everything that was in the mind of Christ was not placed in your mind or head at salvation or heart. It was placed in your hands and is available to every single child of God. Now, brother, it's up to you which one you want to play. I mean, they're both here. You have the mind of the flesh and you have the mind of Christ. And if you're impure in your thinking, it's because you choose to be impure in your thinking. Let me change that. If you're impure in your thinking, it's because you don't choose to be pure. You don't have to choose impurity. You don't have to choose impatience. You don't have to choose pride. You don't have to choose selfishness. You don't have to choose indecency. You don't have to choose uncleanness. You just don't choose the mind of Christ, and the flesh is not the flesh will come in. Will you say, now hold it, preacher? Sometimes I'm pure-minded. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I play one tape. Sometimes I play the other. Yes. And so do many people. And that's where the word double-minded comes from. Double-minded. What does it mean? You got the mind of Christ, you got your own mind, and you play them both. You put the tape in and play it for a while. And then you go to church and walk down the aisle and kneel at the altar and you put you go to work the next day. You read things you shouldn't read, watch things you shouldn't watch. Uncleanness. Come back to church on Wednesday night. Preacher teaches the Bible.
Peace.
Go to work again on Thursday and you watch something you shouldn't watch or read a magazine you shouldn't read. You ask God to forgive you and feel all dirty in your heart, and so you get on your knees and
gentleness, goodness, faith.
And that's double-mindedness. The Bible says the double-minded man, by the way, that word is diasukos, which means two souls or two minds. The double-minded man is unstable. Here's what it means. The word is unfixed. The double-minded man is unfixed. He has not fixed the mind of Christ in his heart. And so he has the mind of Christ, and then he has the mind of the flesh, then he has the mind of Christ, he has the mind of flesh, and that's what it means in James 4:8, where it says, purify your hearts, you never minded. Here's what it says. It says, take out the bad tape, put in the good tape, and purify your hearts. He said, you don't have to have the wicked tape in here. You can have the clean tape in here. Now, as much as your mind is occupied with decency, it'll have no room for indecency. I'll tell you something tonight. The reason a lot of you are going to rob God next Sunday morning is because you, in your mind, you're trying to decide what to do. And the reason a lot of you are going to be immoral because you're going to watch some movies you shouldn't watch. And by the way, what's the difference in watching a movie in the movie house and watching one in the living room? What's the difference then? None. And you're going to watch some movies you shouldn't watch and read some magazine articles you shouldn't read. What are you doing? You're saying, mind of the flesh, go ahead. But the Bible says, if you want to, you can have the mind of Christ, because when you got saved, God made available the mind of Christ. Listen. Keep your mind occupied with love. It'll be so full you won't have any hatred. Keep your mind occupied with peace. It'll be so full you won't have any strife. Keep your mind occupied with how good God is. You won't have any pride to creep in. And that's what the scripture means. I want to ask you a question tonight. Which one's you? By the way, you got one or the other.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings.
Or?
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance.
A few. You have the mind of Christ in your hand. You may have the mind of Christ in your heart. You know one reason why the dirty homosexual crowd bothers me, many reasons why. I don't want a guy that kind. I don't want to shake its hand. I'm afraid he might tingle. And boy, I'll guarantee you the thought of some pervert having an evil thought about me makes me want to throw up on the pervert. But you know what the wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing when moms and dads all across America and send their young people to Howells Anderson College and to know that there's an administration and faculty who look at their daughters through the eyes of purity and decency and Christian love. It's a wonderful thing for them to send their daughters to Howells Anderson College and to feel that the young men on the campus will look at them through the mind of Christ. The wonderful thing for the Christian community like this to live and interact like we do here.
and realize that we look at each other through the mind of Christ. It's up to you. You have the mind of Christ. But it won't enter unless you let it. He said the worst church of all, I think, because he wants all of us to know, no matter how carnal we are, you have the mind of Christ. Right there. Brother Larry, you young man, come up here, please. This is your mind. And by nature, it has all those things mentioned a while ago. But Brother Larry, there's a holy and righteous way that a young man can live if he keeps his mind right. So when you said yes to Christ, he said, here, Larry, take it. Now, he didn't say, take it and do that. You already have the flesh, the mind. But he says, now that you're saved, Larry, I've got something for you. Not in your head, it's in your hand. It's up to you. Put it as you want to. And as a Christian, you can be evil-minded, have your mind full of hatred, bitterness, unkindness, malice, if you want to. But you don't have to. Because you have exactly what Dwight L. Moody had in his hand. And you have exactly what John R. Rice had in his hand. And the difference, Larry, whether or not you have a mind that's right, is whether or not you put it in. Because God said he gave it to you, and you let it be in you. What I said to him, I say to everybody in this room tonight, it's up to you. You have it. But if you don't put it in, don't you blame society. And don't you blame the movies, or the television, or the magazine, or the advertisement. Or don't you blame the naval base. Or don't you blame the school you go to. If your name is written in heaven, you have the mind of Christ. And God says, let it be in you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for making everything available to all of us. And thank you for the privilege of having at our disposal the mind of Christ.